book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. And let's go ahead and just read from verse 1 there. It says, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him." Now, I just want to bring that to right there, and let's just stop there and just talk about this a little bit. Now, this is the beginning, really, of humanity as we know it. And we have the two brothers that were born here. And you start looking at their lives. Now, I'm not sure, because the Bible doesn't really give us the whole picture here, but we have to assume maybe possibly that the family had been instructed on how to come to the Lord, how to offer to the Lord. And then again, they may not have. But we see something going on here, because we see both the brothers coming and bringing an offering unto the Lord. Now, there's been a lot of debate about what happened here and what was going on. I've heard a lot of times that people say, well, it was because Abel brought a meat offering. But maybe not necessarily so. But I want you to see here that the Bible says that Cain brought an offering of the ground, and Abel brought the firstling and the fat. Now, see, here's what I believe, and you can take it where you want to. But I believe it was not the fact that it was meat that Abel brought, but it was the first. See, it doesn't say that Cain brought the first of his crops. Because as we read the Bible, the crop was as good a sacrifice. When you were bringing a sacrifice to the Lord, if you were a farmer, just depended on what you did, that's the kind of sacrifice you brought. You know. And so, it doesn't say that Cain brought a first, but it says Abel brought a first, and the Lord accepted that. Now, of course, naturally Cain got mad because the Lord accepted his and did not accept his own. And so the Lord comes to Cain and he says, why are you mad? He says, if you do right, you'll be accepted. Now, what I want to show you here is God is giving Cain a chance to whether it was the kind of offering, the attitude he gave the offering with. See, the New Testament tells when we don't give grudgingly. Right? So we don't know exactly what the situation was. Did Cain grudgingly give of the field an offering? Did he do it because he was mad? Did he do it because maybe they told him to and he didn't want to? See, we don't have all the information here, but we do see that God told him, if you do right, you'll be accepted. Which tells us that Cain knew what right was. Now, here's what I want you to see in this. God gave Cain a chance to either adjust his attitude, do what he needed to do to be right. But instead of him doing that, he chose to go ahead and kill his brother who had been accepted. Now, here's what I want you to think about for just a minute. He would rather have killed his brother than to corrected himself when he was wrong. Now see, I want you to get a picture of that, because there's been a lot of killing going on social media. Rather than accepting that possibly people could be wrong, there's been a lot of killing going on, a lot with mouths. Brothers and sisters, and it ought not be. If we're right, then we're right. If we're not, then we need to change our attitude. We need to see. And if somebody gets shown in the Word of God what's right, guess what? That's what's right. And so you've got a choice to either accept that and change and be accepted. That's what God gave Cain a choice to do. But instead, he chose to kill his brother. And it's sad that in the church today, there's a lot of folks that would rather kill their brother or sister than to admit maybe they might be wrong. Can I tell you something? There ain't none of us perfect. There ain't none of us got it nailed down. Every one of us, there's some room for correction. There's room for adjustment, room for some change in all of our lives. Amen. And so we see right here a perfect picture of an opportunity to change and be accepted, but instead chose to go the way of sin. Chose the way to go the way of murder instead of just accepting the fact that Cain did it wrong. In some way or another, Cain did it wrong. God gave him an opportunity to do it right. Isn't it sad that we've got so much pride sometimes that we're unwilling to admit that we made a mistake or we got it wrong? Come on. So we have to look and see some things. Go with me over here to 2 Corinthians. I want to show you something here. I'm talking about the fact today, I titled my message, Room for Improvement, because I think we've all got some room for improvement. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says simply this, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. So here, Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, and he says, you know, you've got to look at yourself. You've got to examine yourself. Because I'm going to tell you something. You're going to stand before God for you, not for somebody else. It's what you've done in the kingdom of God, what you've done for or against God, that's what you're going to give an account for, not what somebody else did. Amen. So he says for us to examine ourselves to see whether we be in the faith. See, you know you can be in church and not really be in faith. Amen. Some folks go to church and they, it's a wonder they've gotten saved because they don't believe nothing in the Word. And faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. So we get our faith from the Word. So if we don't know the Word, then our faith level can't be very high, can it? Come on now, I'm just preaching a little truth. So he says for us to examine ourselves, to look at ourselves, to see where we're at. Because you got to realize all the time when we're looking and seeing people's faults, we're not looking at ourselves. I'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. But we're to examine ourselves, look at our own life, see how we're living. Only we know how we're living. You know your spouse don't know how you're living? They see only what you show them. Amen. You come to church and you put on a smile, put on a pretty face, and still be a lot of things going on. And we're able to hide it well. So the Bible says to examine ourselves because God knows it all and sees it all. And so he tells us that we are to examine ourselves. Now, go over to Acts with me, Acts chapter 18. See, we've got to be willing to be corrected by the whole counsel of God. Let me say that one more time because that went over like a lead balloon. We have to be willing to be corrected by the whole counsel of God. And the reason I say the whole counsel of God is you can't be corrected by somebody's doctrine. Come on. It has to be the Word of God that does the correction, because that's what the Bible says is for correction. Right? So we need to be corrected by the whole Word of God, not by a doctrine or what somebody believes, what somebody thinks. Show it to me in the Word. Let's look at the Word. And if we see it in the Word and we see we're in error, then we ought to be quick to repent. Amen. See, that's the thing about David. You know, the Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. Did David mess up? Anybody know any stories on David? Well, I would think that adultery and accessory to murder and a whole lot of things like that might be kind of going against the rules of God, don't you think? Yes. But you know, the thing about David was, even though he messed up, just like that, he would repent. He was quick to repent. He was quick to acknowledge that he was wrong before God and ask God to forgive him. Right? I think, what is it, Psalm 50? The whole psalm is David repenting for the things that he had done. See, we got to understand that we need to receive correction from the Word of God. David received his correction from the prophet, the man of God, which was like God speaking to him. And so when we look in the Word then, let's look here in Acts chapter 18, because I want to show you something right here. Acts chapter 18, verse 24. It says, "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and a mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord." Let me just say that one more time. "This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass to Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much when he believed with him, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and publicly showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ." Now, let's talk about that for just a minute. Notice that he was mighty in the Scriptures. Do you know you can know the Word of God and not know the Word of God? Just because you can quote a Scripture don't mean you know what's going on. Come on, you've got to be able to rightly divide the Word of truth. It's good to know the Scriptures. Nothing wrong with that. That's great. This man was mighty in the Scriptures. He's doing a good work. But all he could preach was what he knew. And he was preaching to them the baptism of John. Baptism unto repentance. Aquila and Priscilla come along. They see that he's got a love for God. He's got a zeal for God. He's mighty in the Scriptures. But he's lacking some. And so they take him aside, and they began to expound the kingdom of God more perfectly to him. Well, if he knew the Scriptures, what did they expound to him more perfectly? Well, we find that out because it says, when he went on down, then he began to convince them mightily that Jesus was Christ. Understand that Christ is not Jesus' last name. Everybody know that, right? Christ means the anointing and the anointed one. That's what Christ means. So what happened was this. Apollos is preaching to them repentance. When Aquila and Priscilla get through with him, now he's got more knowledge. He knows more about the Word. He's received some correction. Didn't get mad, but took what he received, went on down and started preaching what he had learned. And now all of a sudden, not only is he preaching the repentance, but he's preaching now about the anointing and about Christ and how the anointing destroys the yoke. Now he's teaching on the things that Jesus came to do. He came to destroy the works of the devil, sickness, disease. Come on now. Now he's teaching them the whole gospel. He's teaching them the whole Word just because he was willing to receive some correction. Didn't mean he was a bad person at all. But you see, if we're unwilling to be corrected by the Word of God, then we're in trouble. Come on, we've got to all be able to look at the Word and be corrected by the Word. Now, I pray that we don't have to be corrected a lot. I pray we're getting it pretty close. But, you know, again, nobody knows everything. Come on now. Don't, you're looking at me kind of funny. There's things we don't know, and there's things we still got to learn. There's progressive revelation from the Word of God that's coming. God is still revealing things more and more to us. A lot of the things we ought to have had nailed down by now. Come on. But there's some things that it's still working in, and we're still learning about it, and God's still revealing it to us through the Word and through His Spirit. But here's the thing, folks. Just because you don't know it don't mean it's not right. Come on. See, you cannot know about healing and not know that healing's for today and that God wants you to be healed. When you don't know what the Word says about it and you've not been taught about it, then you can't know it. And so therefore, if you don't know it, you can't believe, because you can't have faith in something you don't know. And so we have to be careful to make sure that even when we see and hear things that we're not sure of, you don't just throw that out. You don't just diss that. You wait and let it play out, because if it's God... Remember when Gamaliel stood up while they were trying to do the disciples were there, and they were trying to persecute them. They'd brought them up before the Sanhedrin there, and they're all, you know, making these accusations and stuff. And Gamaliel just finally stands up and he says, "Hey, listen, remember the one guy that came along and he got several people to follow him? They were following him, but they came to naught. Remember the other guy? He came and he raised up a following, and they came to naught." He said, "If this thing is of God, we could end up fighting against God. But if it's not God, it'll come to naught." See, so what we do is, as with progressive revelation, when we come to things that we're not sure of, the best thing for us to do is go to the Word and see what we can find in the Word about it. Right? If you don't know about healing, go to the Word and look up healing in the Word of God. Start finding it. You'll find that by His stripes you were healed. You'll find that He bore our sickness and diseases. You'll find it says, "I'm the God that healeth thee." Come on. You'll find, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." You'll find a lot of scriptures where God says, "I want you healthy." Well, I wonder why. Do you want your kids healthy? Sure you do. Well, does the body of Christ need to be healthy? Sure it does. Why? Because we're the ones here on this earth supposed to be proclaiming the gospel. If you're sick in bed at home, you can't proclaim the gospel. Does that mean sickness and disease is not here? Of course not. There's a real devil here. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. It's a real thing. But here's the thing. God gave us His anointing to destroy real things. Amen. And see, it's hard for the church to get a hold of that. It's hard for people to do that because, well, you know, what about this? What about that? Well, what about the Word? If the Word's not true, then let's all go home. You know, and people are talking about prosperity. And I understand that, listen, the prosperity message has been prostituted out the yang. Everybody, you know, that TV preachers have destroyed the prosperity message. But it's still the prosperity message. Don't matter how much it gets abused, there's still a prosperity message in the gospel. God wants you blessed so you can be a blessing. If you ain't got money, you can't give money. Right? Come on now. See, that's the prosperity message. God wants you blessed to have enough and live good and have money to give. You know, it's been taken over into mansions and this and that and that and whatever, you know. That's between them and God. They'll have to answer to God for that. But you don't throw out the whole prosperity message just because some folks take it overboard. Right? So we have to learn then how to rightly divide the word of truth. And here when Apollos hears this word, then he sees it. They're explaining what all's went on. You know, they didn't have this written New Testament. They are the New Testament. But he sees it and he sees the truth in it. And now when he starts preaching it, the results, and he helps the people that hear it. I'm going to tell you something. I was helped when I heard there was more in the gospel than just salvation. I got excited when I found out about healing. Amen. You can say, "Well, I don't know if that works." Man, I could start taking testimonies right now from right here, and we'd take the rest of the service up or more, just people giving testimonies. Cancer gone. Come on. Kidney stones removed. Baby's brain fixed. Things like that. We watched God heal Brother Larry Doody when he was having a stroke. We watched it. He walked up the aisle with his chin way down here. And he wouldn't care for me sharing this because he'd give God glory for it too. He walked up this aisle, and by the time he got ready to walk back, it wouldn't draw no more. He drove himself home that night. Didn't even go to the hospital. That's God. So you can't tell, you can't convince me God don't heal. It's too late. You know. And so when I was shown in the Word that God wanted us healed, I was like, I want that. If God's got it, I want it. And it's the same thing for prosperity. God's got it, I want it. I want to be blessed, don't you? Amen. And so it's such a simple message, but people want to take it and abuse it, or people will just want to refuse it and don't want to, oh no, that's not for today. You know, there's so many things that folks get caught up in that it's because it's all they know. You see, Apollos could only teach what he knew. But he was teaching from the Scriptures. But you know, it's sad today, there's a lot of folks that are not teaching what they know from the Scriptures. They're teaching what they know from their denomination or from men, rather than teaching what the Word of God actually says. And they'll change it around. And I don't care what some guy says in his book, that don't make it true. Right? You can say anything you want to in a book. It's your book. You write it how you want to. But if it don't line up with the Word of God, then it ain't true. And so once he got the Word and he found out the truth about what was going on, that Jesus was Christ, then he went to preaching that, and people's lives were being changed because of that. Thank God for salvation, but once you get saved, you need to know some more about how to live. Amen. I want to know how to live this life. Jesus said that he came to give me an abundant life. I want to know how to live it, and I'll find out from the Word of God. That's our guideline, right? Now, you know, I said I would talk about it just a little bit, and so I will. But it's easy to get up on your soapbox and point out the fault of others. Right? I mean, I promise you, if you're looking for a fault in this church today, you'll find one. Because if you go looking in any church, you'll find a fault in that church. Because the church is full of imperfect people. Thank God we're saved. Thank God we're forgiven. But we're not perfect. And so any church you go looking to, you can find fault. And a lot of times that's what people do. They get up on their little soapbox, and especially if they don't agree with their doctrine or whatever. But you see, you have to search that out before you start pointing fingers. How about sin if it's in the Word or not? Amen. Instead of trying to get angry and say things are false and all that, look and see if there's anything in the Word of God. You know, I saw people talking about false prophets. Man, they was going off the wall talking about false prophets, because of some service that was going on here locally. You know, and the people that was talking about false prophets didn't even believe in prophets.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on. Come on.
If there's a false prophet, then they have to be a true prophet. But you don't believe in a true prophet, but you believe in a false prophet. Come on. And just because somebody prophesies, don't make them a prophet. Because the Bible says we can all prophesy.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. That won't make you a false prophet, even if you make a mistake, get it wrong. You see, I saw some folks take Scripture to try to go against what was going on, that went against their doctrine. They proved their own doctrine wrong by trying to prove them wrong. I was just sitting there smiling. I'm thinking, man, How silly is this? You know, let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. So when we sit in the Word of God, let's be willing to change to the Word and not get so caught up in pride. Because see, Cain had an opportunity, but it was pride. He could have corrected things, but he'd rather have killed his brother. Here, Apollos said, you know what? That's the way it is. That's the way we'll preach it. Because we want to do what's right. We want to teach what's right. Listen, folks, ain't no use us having church if we're not going to be taught the truth. Right? We need to know what the truth is. I don't want to go to church week after week and not be being told the truth. I want to go to church all my life and there was more, and I didn't know that there was more because I was never told there was more. Now, a lot of times it's our fault because we don't read. Come on, I suggest don't take the word of any preacher, including mine. Get in the Word of God. See if what I'm telling you is not in the Word. Don't just say this is what Pastor Mike teaches. This is what he preaches. Show it to them from the Word of God. Now that takes some work on your half. Right? And I know that it's a little tough sometimes. We all busy. But you know, again, we can point fingers, but you know, it's hard to look in the mirror and look at our own faults. Because if you look in that mirror, you'll see a person with faults. Amen. It's true. We don't like it, but it's there. Because we're not perfect. Now let's go with me. You're there in Second Corinthians or in Acts. Now let's go over to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. Is this all right that we kind of just teach along this line today? I don't like it when religion tries to override the Word of God, or religion gets involved in things that ain't got no business getting its nose in. Amen. You know, we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit to get a hold of what God is saying to us, the church. We're the body of Christ. We're all brothers and sisters in the Lord. We're all going to the same heaven. Now, there are some folks that don't believe that nobody else is going besides them. You know, they're going to get a shocker. Can you imagine that, thinking you're the only ones going to heaven? Your little group and sect, heaven, all of heaven is made for this little group. Us 50, that's all, is going to heaven. It's crazy. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the waters of life freely. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, this is where Paul's talking about communion, but I want to pick it up in verse 23 here. He says, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." Now, Paul's trying to get them straightened out. They're coming together to have the Lord's Supper, but they've got, for some reason, they want to eat. So, you know how Christians are. They all like to eat. But they came together, and some, of course, had food, and some didn't have food. And it was not a good situation. So Paul says, eat before you get here, because you're coming to do the Lord's Supper. You're coming to do communion. But then he goes into the communion, and he starts talking about taking communion. And of course, he talks about eating or drinking unworthily, taking of the cup unworthily. You know, what's he talking about? Well, are you born again? Are you a child of God? Are you in the kingdom of God? Then yes, take it. If you're not, then it's a good idea not to. Okay? He says, because some weren't worthy. What do you mean? Well, some were taking it and sick, and some even died. But then he goes on and he says, let a man examine himself. Because if we would judge ourselves, we'd not be judged. And then he goes on and says, when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord, so that we're not condemned with the world. And what he was saying here is this. We need to judge ourselves. And when we judge ourselves, the Holy Spirit on the inside of you is going to tell you things that you need to adjust. Come on, he loves you enough to tell you got a fault, you got a problem, there you got something you need to adjust. And so when it talks about the chastening of the Lord, it's talking about the Lord will speak to you about you getting this straightened out because He does not want you condemned to damnation. Does not want you condemned to the world. God loves you enough to show you your faults. Amen. Think about that one for a minute. You know, it's like a good friend that'll come up and say you got something in your hair. We're talking about something much more serious, but that's, you know, some folks will let you go around, you know, with food on your face. Right? Something, you know. So you're all looking at me kind of funny. A good friend will tell you, does it embarrass you? Of course it does. You know, you've been going around for the last hour and you got, you know, something stuck on your chin and you didn't know it was stuck there and you've been talking to people. They ain't said a word. And then you finally get over to your friend and say, hey, you got something on your chin there. Yeah. Well, you're embarrassed. But you know what? That's a good friend. That's a good friend that'll tell you because they told you the truth because they love you. You can't get mad at them. You know, so a lot of times people are afraid to do that. I mean, you know, you've heard me say this so many times, but, you know, I'll tell Scotty, if you see something, tell me. He'll say sometimes, Pastor, you've got a big hair sticking out your nose. He'll do that because he loves me. And I've told him to do that. Make sure you point something out, you know. And I don't want to walk around with my pants unzipped. Come on. I'd rather somebody tell me, is it embarrassing? Of course it's a little embarrassing, but still that's better than the latter, right? So see, God wants to show us things. He wants to tell us things about ourselves so that we can make the adjustments because He doesn't want us condemned with the world. We're His kids. But you see, He told Cain, and Cain wasn't willing to judge himself. He rather went along with the sin and ended up killing his brother. For you and I pray that we've got enough sense to where we'll judge ourselves. If God says we need to change something, let's change it. By all means. Judge ourselves. Notice that. You don't have to get somebody's opinion about that. Listen to God. See what God's saying. And make the correct judgments as God speaks to you. Judging ourselves. Now, you know, when we'll judge ourselves, then we won't be so quick to throw stones at somebody else. Isn't that right? Come on, when we look at ourselves, we're not so quick to throw stones at somebody else. Let me give you a little example. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. It says, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, He came again to the temple, and all the people came to Him, and He sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting Him, that they might have to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down and with His finger wrote on the ground as though He heard them not. So when they continued asking Him, He lifted up Himself and said to them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again He stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up Himself and saw none but the woman, He said to her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Notice Jesus did not consent to what she did. He forgave her and told her not to do it again. But you see, the thing I want you to see here is here come the Pharisees. Pharisees were always quick to pick up somebody's fault. They were really quick. If anything didn't go along with what they thought and what they were doing, they were real quick to condemn it, try to stop it. They finally killed Jesus. Think about it. They brought this woman there, and Jesus, being Jesus, I mean, you read, Jesus was funny. He really was. He used things that just blew the religious folks' minds. This is one of them. Pretended not to even hear him writing on the ground. And they won't shut up because they're trying their best to trip him up. And so he says, okay, you that doesn't have any sin, you cast the first stone. Goes right back to ignoring them again. See, they wanted his full attention because they're the religious leaders. But something happened. Their conscience got a hold of them. They started to examine themselves, and real quickly they found out they had sin in their life too. And there's no big sin, there's no little sin. Sin is sin. So whether they're pointing out her adultery or whatever it was that they had in their life, they started slipping off. When Jesus looked up, there wasn't nobody left. And he said, where's your accusers? I don't have any. Well, I'm not going to condemn you either. Just go sin no more. See, what I want you to see here is while you're accusing somebody else, look at your own life. See if you got some things that maybe you need some correction. You won't be so quick to bring somebody before Jesus. Come on. It's quiet this morning. But I want us to see that no matter what we think about a situation, we have to judge it by the Word of God, not by our belief, our church doctrine, or anything like that. It's got to be by the Word of God. Jesus basically just went ahead and told him and said, if you've not got any sin in your life, stone her. We're not going against what the Word says. You stone her if you don't have any sin in your life. But if you're guilty, she's guilty, you have no right to throw a stone. And so I think a lot of folks in the body, and most folks in the body, don't have much right to be throwing stones. But what we ought to be doing is praying for folk. And praying if there's an error. Lord, you correct that error. You deal with them as they examine themselves. You see, that's what we want. We want God to correct us. We want God to deal with us. We want to make sure that we're doing what God wants us to do. You see, here's the thing, folks. Above all else, God is love. Jesus, out of compassion, out of His love for this woman, He said, you go and you sin no more. The body of Christ is following the world, and I'm going to tell you, the world is out of love. The world, they hate one another. It's what the Bible said would happen, right? People are going to hate one another and bring one another. You're seeing all this go on right now. Thank God there's still more good than there is bad, but you're seeing a lot of hate in the world now. And it's even crept into the church. But the Bible says if you can't love your brother who you see, how can you love God who you don't see? And so sometimes I think we start flying off at the mouth when we ought to keep it shut. Can I get an amen from anybody? Come on now. You can have a lot of opinions about things, but that don't give you the right to voice it. A lot of whispers going on out there. I ain't going to lie to you. As I read things and I saw things, I was just... I had to restrain hard. Because I know some of the other folks that were saying this and that and that. You know, I knew what they believed and they were putting things and I could have counteracted every one of those things with another scripture. But I thought, you know what? Nope. That's between you and them, God. This is your kid. You do it. None of my business. I'm staying out of trouble here. But it behooves us to think about things like this, because I'm going to tell you something. This end time revival getting ready to happen, things ain't going to be like you think they're going to be. You're going to see things that look strange. It'll be biblical, but you'll see things that look strange. It might not line up with your way of believing. Come on. I mean, we look at folks and make immediate judgments. I'm as bad as anybody else. Right? You know, I mean, when you see things, you see things. You know. But how you react to that, and that's what I'm working on me about. How you react about that is up to you. Because no matter what you see, God sees somebody He loves. Somebody that Jesus went to the cross for. No matter how stupid they look, how stupid you think they are. Come on now. And that's tough on us, because we normal people, you know.
Right?
We've got to love them anyway, because we're commanded to love. Matter of fact, I want to close this out today with reading from the book of love, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. And I'm going to read it to you from the New Living Translation, but because I think it brings it out so much better. But I want you to listen to what it says. It says, "If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal." Look at that. Already talking about people that feel like they're real spiritual. "If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing." Wow. "If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud." Let me just say that one more time. "Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged." Wow. Can I say that one more time? It keeps no record of being wronged. That's what love is. That hits us all. Somebody does us wrong, it's hard for us to forget that, keep no record of it, and still love them. "It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices when the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when full understanding comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, as in a cloudy mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. And that I know now, all that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love." The greatest of these is love. Church, let's make it a mission of ours to... You don't just let everything happen, and you don't take everything coming down, but you judge whatever you judge according to the Word of God. And if it's something you don't know anything about, then it might be a good idea to get educated about it before you open your mouth about it. Amen. I got a scripture for that. If you don't care, I'll just give that to you. I said that was the last one. You know, this will be my second closing, okay? I wanted to give you these two because I thought, man, both of these work really good. It says, "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it's folly and a shame to him." That's Psalms 18:13. That's good. Psalm 29:11, "A fool uttereth all of his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterwards." Things that we need to take to heart right there is to understand that. If we don't understand something, let's search it out in the Word of God. Unless, if we're going to judge it, let's judge it by the Word of God, because that's what we're all going to be judged by, is the Word of God. And so let's just love people and let's let God be God. Let's not hinder what God's doing somewhere else just because maybe He's not doing it in your place. Amen. Let's not hinder what God's doing in somebody else's life, maybe because it's not being done in your life. And maybe we ought to just go back and look at ourselves and say, okay, God said, if I do right, I'll be accepted too. So I need to just say, God, what is it I need to change? What is it about me that I need to do so that you get glory out of my life? Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet with me? Let's pray. Father, we just ask you today, Lord.